welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Looking back to last week, you know, the first half a little bit slow, but the second half kicked it into gear.
Yeah, 17-10 at half, and it's a good football team. I mean, Camden's a good football team, and, you know, we obviously – they're going to come up with a lot of fight, and I thought it was a good first half. You know, we made some mistakes, but you got to give them credit too.
Right.
They practiced too, and you know they were able to get 10 points on the board and make it a one score game going into halftime. But once again, I was happy the way we made some halftime adjustments, where we came out with our intensity and energy in the second half and played well.
Now tonight you're hosting Lebanon for a district title. Your fourth straight district title game in Class 4. How important is that?
Well, I mean,
Class 5, sorry.
I mean, getting to this game, obviously, it's important because it's just another step in your postseason run. Obviously, we fell a little bit short in previous ones, but you know, we were able to finally kick down that door last year and win our first Class 5 district title, and you know, we want to keep that going. Lebanon's a great team. They're coming in here playing really good football. I know they had some losses early in the year, but their losses were to really good football teams. And, you know, really outside of the Nixa game, where they kind of let that game get away from them, they were very competitive. And they've been playing really good football as of late, a good football team that certainly has our respect. And it's going to be a really tough game tonight.
You know, it's a team that loves to run the football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Run first, run second, run third. And when you have a running back, you know, number 36 for them, the caliber of running back that he is, running the flex bone, it's just who they are. And it's, you know, they're going to run the football, and it all starts with their B-back and flex bone terminology. And if we don't tackle and tackle the dive and tackle well, it's going to be a long night for us. And that's been certainly our focus all week.
Is it difficult to kind of get ready to prepare for that in just a week?
We've seen similar offenses. I mean, we've certainly run versus flex bones before. This year, Cap City is the closest thing to it. They're more split back beer. You know, but some of the principles of how to take away an option offense are still the same. You know, it all begins with your ability to take away their first option, which is their dive. And you know, I think Coach Pitts and his staff have a great game plan. And you know, if we tackle the dive and then you know get to the quarterback, get to the pitch, but they'll run inside reverse, they'll run sweep, and so they have other things that's not just triple option football. You know, getting your eyes in the right place for our linebackers, reading their keys, reading pullers, you know, making sure we all run fits are right. And then really, it's important too for your secondary guys not to get lulled to sleep, because they do have the ability to throw the football, and a lot of their pass plays end up in big plays just because people get so focused on the run. Their eyes get lost looking at the misdirection, and next thing you know, you have a receiver running wide open down the middle of the field. We can't do that.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. So before we look forward to a district championship this week, Tom, we got to look back. District semis last week, it was a real easy victory for the Crusaders. So what was it about that game that let them have so much success with that 45-17 win?
I would disagree at the point that it was easy.
Okay.
Because, you know, they got up 17-0, and you thought, okay, good. Well, then Camden came back, made it 17-10 at the half, you know, and had all the momentum, and Helias got the ball first to start the third quarter, and on a fourth and one, they went for it on their own 23, and, you know, if they don't get it there,
right,
you're giving Campton a very short field, but, you know, Austin Weaver took the snap, and 73 yards later, it was a touchdown, you know, so that was kind of the big play that got them going.
Okay.
They were scoring 28 in the second half, and kind of pulling away for the win. I think part of it in – I don't know. Sometimes I think that it's almost the team that has played in the postseason before kind of got some of the jitters out. And I think
Sure. Sometimes
the jitters are still there when you get the bye, because, you know, you've been off for a week, haven't played
True. Basically
for 2 weeks by the time you play.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to say it's a little bit of an advantage for the team that didn't get the bye, but, you know, I think they just it just took them a little while to kind of get going, get back into football mode.
Well, I was going to say that was going to be one of my next questions was just was there any of the any rust, you know, when you get that extra week off? I mean, you know, you can try like you want to be as sharp as possible and you can keep things the same, but sometimes there is just it's like, well, we got to get back into the you know, as opposed to showing up at practice, you know, when the sun's still out and, you know, going through the motions as opposed to, you know, getting against an opponent when the lights are on and being ready to roll.
Yeah, you know, and Campton played well. I don't want to take anything away from them. They played, you know, they played, I think they played better this time than they did when Hawaii's played them down in week four down in Campton. I think it was just, you know, Hawaii's kind of got, once Hawaii's got going, I don't know that there was a whole lot Campton could do about it.
Yeah. And after our discussion last week, I guess the only real pressing question is, was it faster this time for
you?
No. It's still a long game, huh?
No, because the first thing Chris did when we started talking after the game was he looked at his watch and he said, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I go, yeah, something about you got. Yeah, I mean, again, penalties, and I don't want to harp on this stuff, but I mean, it was, yeah, one of those games.
Well, I guess the good thing is you don't have to see those two teams meet again this year, so yeah. There'll be no Act 3 for that one. So
6 hours of my life I'll get back.
So I guess we get to set the table then for this week. So Helias, the number one seed, improved to 9-1 with that victory. They'll play for the district title tonight at home against Lebanon at 7 o'clock. The Yellow Jackets are now 7-4 after having taken down two of the other teams from the capital city the previous 2 weeks. Took down, you know, Jeff City 49-7 in the district first round, and then Cap City 44-24 last week.
Yeah, I kind of joked around with Chris. I said, you going to bring that Mayor's Cup out just in case? And he goes, no, it's no. I said, no.
Don't
be silly. But, it, you know, we talk. It,
right.
I said, it has been mentioned a bit of practice. I said, yeah, they're going for the city sweep tonight. And,
right.
And I think it'll be interesting, you know, look, Helias shut out Capital City. Helias shut out Jeff City.
Right.
I think, you know, they're the best of the three. And I think this is kind of a fitting matchup for a district title. You know, Lebanon's coming in here. Yeah, 7-4. And you kind of go, well, 7-4. But they lost the first three. Then 1-1, then lost to Nixa, who I, you know, I have a vote in the state rankings, and I'm voting Nixa number one in Class 6 to go to 1-4.
Right.
But they've turned it on since then, and I think, you know, obviously playing their best football of the season, they've kind of blown through everybody since losing to Nixa, and I think it'll be an interesting game tonight.
And those, you know, those first three that you rolled over include the likes of Webb City, Joplin, and Neosho. So not like it was just anybody that beat them in those first three and kind of had them stumbling out of the gate.
Right. You know, they just obviously got off to a slow start against really, really good teams.
Yeah.
You know, the start of that schedule was tough. Now, I you know, to be fair, I think if you look at then, you know, then the rest of the way they wrapped up the regular season, not exactly the toughest schedule.
Right.
But they did go through and handled them. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of close decisions went the rest of the way for them.
Yeah.
There hadn't been in the district either.
Yeah, I was going to say 20 point win followed by a 40 point win and followed by 40 and 20 in the playoffs.
Which is exactly what you want to do against those teams.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess we've got to start where everybody starts with this, is just the fact that we got to talk about Jax Glendening because he's the running back.
Are you getting tired of talking about Jax?
I've talked about him in the last 2 weeks. Might as well do it again. Because, again, I think sometimes the numbers are fun enough that it's just worth talking about. So just to recap, kind of, you know, in that game against Jeff City, 401 rushing yards.
Basically also, in three quarters.
Yeah, in three quarters. Threw a 62-yard touchdown pass. Then last week against Cap City, only 243 yards rushing, but five rushing TDs, and had a 78-yard touchdown catch. So yeah. He's kind of done it in all of the facets lately. And he's, you know, and again, I don't think it's surprising anybody because when we talked, you know, to Kyle last week and Trevor two weeks ago, they both knew that he was the guy that their teams were going to have to focus on to be successful, and they weren't able to slow him enough.
Right, and you know, you think, well, you know, this kid has run for 2,500 yards, is averaging 9 yards a carry, basically. He scored 35 touchdowns this year. You on the ground, you think, hey, you know, 6'3", 220 pounds, a bruiser. No, the roster has him listed at 5'9", 180 or 190. Now, those are roster numbers because, you know, and we know roster numbers are always accurate.
True.
They tell you, yeah.
True.
So, you know, he is a kid that is kind of normal size. We'll call him normal size.
Right.
That just runs hard
every
play. And you look and I think in the preview story in today's paper, you know, you think, okay, he scored this many touchdowns. Well, he's just picking up, you know, garbage scores inside the 10. No, he's run for 90 yards, 78 yards, and had other multiple long touchdown runs again in the last 2 weeks against Jeff City and Cap City.
Yeah. I think I'll give some props to Kevin Kelly. I was listening to his radio broadcast last week, and it sounds like he brought up an excellent point where it sounds like what he's able to do is maybe when he gets through the first line of defenders, what he does a great job of is he kind of stretches the field all sorts of directions. It's not just he like runs in a straight direction. He kind of runs away from people and runs on diagonals and makes the field even longer because you have to run after him and you have to run after him for long stretches of field in order to try to bring him down. So it sounds like it's not just, you know, that maybe he's got that quick first burst or he can run away from everybody. It's just that he can run all day long and he's going to make you have to work to bring him down.
Right, and Chris was talking about, you know, going back through films and watch people try to tackle him. He said, you cannot tackle him hitting him in the shoulder pads.
Okay.
You cannot tackle him hitting around the waist. You have got to get thigh level or below to bring him to the ground because he is so strong.
Sure.
He just shrugs you off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I'm personally looking forward to it because I obviously just enjoy watching talented kids display their talent tonight, and I think it'll be fun. And Elias knows what they have to do. It's been stressing them all week. Got to try to tackle them low, and frankly, try to tackle them as close to your line of scrimmage as you can.
Right.
Because if he gets loose, he's gone.
And it sounds like also, you know, when you have kids like that, you obviously want to try to put them in a position to succeed, and it sounds like he's doing plenty of that. But I think, give credit to the Lebanon coaching staff. I think they're doing a good enough job just based on the fact that if you have a TD pass in the last 2 weeks and you have a TD reception in the last 2 weeks, you're putting him in positions where you're like, okay, everyone knows he's going to be involved. But if you can vary when and where and how he's going to be involved, then that makes it a little bit harder to just go, well, we've got to stop that kid.
Yeah. And you're looking right now, okay, well, now he's done this, he's done that. We have to be ready for it.
Right.
Just another wrinkle
that
you have to be ready for defensively.
Yeah. So I guess the point is like you mentioned, it's fun for, you know, us as sports reporters to go and watch games where you look at it and go, I want to see this kid and I want to see if, you know, Elias can raise the level of stopping him. I think it's fun for the players too to be challenge sometimes and go, okay, we know this kid's good. Can we be better than him on this night and can we raise our level of play?
Yeah, and you know, Elias, very talented on the defensive front, obviously.
Right.
You know, and I think they are going to embrace the challenge, you know, against Lebanon's offensive line. They've still got to do things against them and then worry about getting to what you can do against Glendening. And
right.
I think that those kids are going to try to embrace that challenge of having a really good night. You know, Chris said we're going to have to play one of our best defensive games of the year, and I agree with them 100%.
So let's look at the maybe, I don't know, 5% chance that Lebanon's fortunes do not ride solely on Glendening.
And they don't. And
you're right. And who might be somebody else that concerns Elias heading into this
game? Well, the passing game, you know, you look at go, yeah, Tom, they've run for 3,500 yards as a team or whatever.
Right.
We're talking about this passing game business. They've completed, I think, 39 passes all year. And doing the math, that's like four a game. But when they do complete, and they're averaging almost 18 yards a completion.
Okay.
That's a big chunk yardage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our very good friend Chuck Gaines.
Yeah.
And so you've got, that tells you that the secondary just cannot get sucked in staring.
Right.
What can they do to try to stop the run game?
Right.
They've got to follow their guy, you know, got to cover their guys and make sure that they don't give up those big yards.
Sure.
Because then you're just giving up, you know, you're giving them basically another set of downs, which you do not want to do.
Right. I think loyal listeners to this podcast have heard us harp on this before in the past, but sometimes the best way to limit a really good offensive player from the other team is have your offense be good and keep the ball away from them.
Yeah.
So how important is it tonight for maybe to, you know, Elias to have, one, not only productive possessions, which you always want to have, but long possessions to maybe keep the ball away from that Lebanon offense?
Just to turn it just for a second, Chris talked about, you know, watching film this year. There has been he saw a game where Lebanon had a 21-play drive that nearly ate up an entire quarter. Now, if you're the opposition, one, you're getting worn out playing defense.
Yeah.
And two, your offense is wondering, well, are we ever going to get the ball? And how big of a panic are you in? My God, they just ran 10, 11 minutes off the clock. You know, there's a quarter of the game gone, and we haven't done anything.
Right.
So I think Hawaii's offense being patient is important.
Okay.
And you look back to last week, they ran for a season, they ran for more than 300 yards, Elias did, which is a season high, which is big.
Right.
I think, you know, they had, you know, they've got three or four running backs that can pop yards. And You know, I think all of them tonight, you know, I'm talking about Alex Marbury and C.J. Howell and Brady Fan and Ben Holly, I think can all kind of play roles tonight in helping control the line of scrimmage because, you know, you talk about keep the ball away from them.
Right.
And try to, you know, and just run clock yourselves and see if you just can't frustrate them a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, you might get your wish that you wanted last week as opposed to a three-hour game. Maybe if both teams are running a lot tonight, you might have an hour and a half long.
Well, I don't know that we're going to see Elias run the ball that much.
Right.
I think that it's, you know, I don't know that we've seen Elias' best offensive game this year.
Okay.
Because I think there's always been a little something that's kind of messed it up a little bit. And I think we're still waiting for that. And I think if we do see that tonight, I think that would be, you know, a good mix of pass and run. Could be a winning formula tonight.
Yeah. How's the health of the Crusaders heading into this one?
Much better. Okay. Will Kemna, you know, a K-State commit, for those of you that don't know, will be he'll be back. He injured his hand against Lift for Life in the regular season finale, you know, and then with the bye week, did not play last week against Camden. He'll be back on the offensive line. And other than that, that was really the only injury of note they had going into last week that wasn't taken care of. So, you know, everybody's got bumps and bruises. You know, this is week 12. So, but he said other than that, you know, we are probably about as healthy as we could expect to be.
Okay. Guess that gets us to prediction time. And I'll just ask, does Glenn Denning terrorize another Capital City team this week?
I don't know. He's going to get his yard.
Sure.
You know, talking to Chris and, you know, and I said, you can't stop him. He goes, no. He said, you can do your best to slow him down, but he's going to get his yards.
Sure.
You know, he's run for more than 100 yards in 10 of their 11 games this year, I think. And so I don't know that they're going to – I would be surprised if they held him to under 100. I'll say that now. But Hawaii's defense is pretty good. You know, they haven't really seen a true flex bone for a while. The closest thing has been Cap City. So I think, you know, some of the stuff they did against Cap City, they're going to try to incorporate into the defense tonight.
Okay.
I think the offense, you know, talking about Lebanon's defense, they have at times given up points. So I think if Elias can get to upper 20s, I think it'll be it could be a happy night for Elias fans. I'm going to say Elias 31-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter @TJRackers. Thanks for listening.